I love to hear kids sing.
Walker's going to hate he missed Lily and Melly. That's what he talks about every Sunday morning. Lily and Melly, Lily and Melly, Lily and Melly. Now, y'all did a good job. Very good job. I saw this the other day. The reason you don't like the Bible is because it knows all about you. Amen to that. Billy Sunday said that. He was one of them old preachers didn't care about what you thought. You ever listen to anything Billy Sunday did, it was a different breed of person back then. He used to be the one that would jump up on the pulpit and preach. And I mean like up on the pulpit. You are a good man. I figured you just forgot. Thank you. I appreciate that. I knew he was old and he'd forget. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Luke 15. You've heard thousands of preachers preach on Luke 15 in different forms and different places in it, and I'm sure they all did a good job. But I'm going to preach what the Lord's laid on my heart this morning, and we're just going to kind of tiptoe through some of it and see how it pans out. I got one of them sermons I ain't got no notes for. I always love those. Theirs are so much fun. You know, you think you got a plan. You're going to write all these notes down. You start to write them down, and God won't let you get none of them. And he just sits there and says, why don't you just keep reading it? Why don't you just keep reading it? Why don't you just keep reading it? You see, some of y'all ain't never preached before, but that's how that works sometimes. You end up with no notes, and you just got a lot of Bible. That's a good problem to have, by the way. You got Bible, you don't really need the notes. The Bible will take care of itself. The notes are just there to keep you in your place. But I don't have any notes this morning. So when I started to read Luke chapter 15, and I was just kind of going through, figuring out what maybe the Lord wanted me to preach on, I could have preached the first part where he talks about the lost sheep, which is found in 1 through 7, and I kind of thought about that, but I preached on that before, and so I thought about maybe where he's talking about the lost coin that's in 8 through 10. And then we have the prodigal son story, which is 11 through 32, which finishes up the chapter. And as you see in all of these stories, and you've heard messages on all of them, I'm sure, but as you see in all of them, they've lost something, and then they find it. Every story kind of ends the same way. They lose something and then they find it. The sheep, they lost the sheep and then they find the sheep. And the coin, they lost the coin and they find the coin. And then the prodigal son story gets in there and you see that he was lost and now is found. And I'm going to kind of go with the prodigal son story. I feel that's where the Lord kind of wanted me to land this morning. And we're going to start reading in verse 11. The Bible says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country." And you see, when you get to this point, that you've seen somebody that has taken something that he wasn't supposed to get yet, and he's decided to leave with it, right? And we've been there, you've done that in your life, where you get something and you just go into a far country, and what do you get? You get salvation, right? If you want to put the application there, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You couldn't go to hell if you wanted to. Your Ephesians 4:30 sealed at the day of redemption. Can't get out of it. But what do? You go live however you want to. You go off into that far country, and there's a lot of things that you could say about that far country, but you see that when he gets there and they're wasted his substance with riotous living. So he gets there and he just wastes everything that he has, doing what he wants to do. Now we get caught up in that. You know, this whole mentality of you do you. Y'all heard that? You just do you. And that's kind of what you live in nowadays. Just do you. Whatever makes you feel good, do it. If it makes you comfortable, just do it. Nike's whole thing is just do it, right? They made a whole brand off of it. Have you ever thought about just doing what God wants you to do, not just what you want to do? Why don't you just do what God wants you to do? Why don't you do what God's called you to do instead of what the world wants you to do? What the world thinks is important in life. And he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. Now, isn't that convenient how that worked out for him? You know, he didn't put up for a rainy day, did he? You see, I figure he was given a good amount of money and a good amount of things and assets or whatever they were. And he's wasted these things up to this point. He said, I'm going to do the things I want to do, and I'm going to go on and live my life how I want to live it. And now when he gets to this point, he's realizing that a famine has come up, and now he has no money. He has no way to get anything. He can't even eat. And you see at the very end of it, it says he began to be in want. Now, I find that very interesting. It doesn't say he began to be in need. It says want. There's a difference in needing something and wanting something, right? Okay, I believe every word of God is pure. Every single solitary word. There's a reason why it says want and not need. You see, we want a lot of things. Right? I want a new truck. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Am I going to get one? No. But I want one. I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to act like you're not talking. We want a lot of things. Want new boats. Want new cars. We want all this stuff. Why? Because we think it's going to make us happy. When you realize when you get it, you still can't catch fish. Yes. I've only got about a month left to do this to him. You realize you get all the stuff and it doesn't change anything, right? You get the new truck and guess what you do? You treat it like the old one. It's the same truck, right? You're still going to go hunting in it, even though you're babying it a little more than you used to. But it's still the same truck. You're still going to make it get dirty, and you're still going to treat it like a truck at the end of the day. You just thought you needed one because it looked pretty in the driveway, right? There's a lot of things in life you think that you want to have. You got to get a hold of it. But do you really need it? You see, he began to be in want of something. He wanted the lifestyle that he had lived up to this point. He had done whatever he wanted to up to this point in his life. You see, he got what he wanted from his father, and then he went and lived how he wanted to live, and now he's realized everything's ran out, and there's a famine in the land, and now he wants what he had, but he can't have that. So he finds himself in want of what used to be there. In your Christian life, have you ever been to that place? Oh, come on, get real now. Don't be over spiritual. I know y'all are more spiritual than I am, but you ever been to that place in your life where you sit back and you sit back and you're going through things and you're going, man, it sure was nice over there. When I lived over there like that, boy, things seemed to be so much easier. I could do what I wanted to, act how I wanted to, talk how I wanted to, be what I wanted to be. Don't realize how good you got it on this side, right? Because, you know, the things that of God, they become difficult sometimes, and we make it look like we're bound by Christianity, or we're bound by our belief system, or we're bound by all of these things, when in reality, you have more than you ever have. You just got eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I mean, my goodness. Is that not enough for you? Is it not enough that he died on the cross for your sins when you did not deserve it? Is that not enough? Does that not even cross your mind anymore? You're too busy wanting what you used to have. You're too busy wanting to be what you used to be. Why? Because maybe you were more popular over there, right? That's when you was cool. Yeah. Some of you older ones, I see y'all looking. Y'all used to be there, didn't you? But Tim, you ain't never been cool. What you talking about? Scott was always a cool one. You can just see it on his face. You want to be what you used to be. You want to have the things that you used to have. What about the things of God? What about the things that He gave you? What about the things that He's done for you? Verse 15, he goes on, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And when he would fain have filled his belly with the husk of the swine that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, you see, he's gone and he's realized that he's ran out of everything, so what did he have to do? He had to go get him a job feeding pigs, right? Had to go feed an old nasty hog. He had to go do an undesirable job so that he could survive, right? Because he put himself in this position that technically he never had to be in. You see, there's a lot of situations we put ourselves in that we don't technically have to be in at all. Some of you see that because you got saved at a young age and you realize that you put yourself through so much stuff that you never technically should have been in the first place. And over here, you thought living in the world was the right thing. You thought that was the fun thing. You thought that was what you needed. But then you come to yourself and realize, hey, that ain't it. That's not where you find happiness and peace and joy. That's not where you get it over here in that hog pit. He's sitting there feeding these swine, and what does he find himself doing? Eating their slop. Right? He's eating what the hogs eat to survive. And he comes to himself, and I think we ought to have a come to Jesus meeting every once in a while ourselves. I think you ought to sit back and just really realize just how dumb you are most of the time. Amen. I can't say what I want to. My wife said you can't say stupid from the pulpit. He came to himself. Can you put that out of the sermon? He came to himself. He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. And he says in verse 18, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Boy, he had a plan, didn't he? He has thought this out in his mind. He has got this great plan of how he's going to sit back and say, hey, Daddy, I messed up. And I really think he believed it. Okay, I think he meant it. But he had a plan. He says, I'm going to go to my father and I'm going to say, hey, Daddy, I messed up. I messed up before God. I messed up before you. I didn't do things the right way. Just give me a job as a servant just so I can eat something other than this filth. Just so I can have something other than this filth that I'm living in. He came to himself and realized how much better the servant had it. You realize he didn't have to be a servant. He was not a servant when he left. He wasn't a servant way back there. But now he's looking at it like, if I could just be a servant, boy, that'd be better than where I'm at right now. Have you been there? God, if you just let me get back. I know I've messed up so many times, and God, I apologize, and I'm sorry, and if you could just get me back to where I'm just a servant, if I can just get back to be the servant that I need to be, I don't have to be the preacher, I don't have to be the singer, I can be the janitor, and just let me do something for you, God. You ever been to that place? Some of y'all hadn't been there. Guess what? You might get there one day. You might get there one day when you realize, hey, I'm in a bad place in my life. I got saved at 9 years old. You know, God saved me from a lot of things that I could have done. But there was a whole lot of bad I still did. I look back now and realize I didn't have to do that. I could have just said, you know what, I'm on fire from God and I'm just going to stay with Him no matter what happens. No matter what situation comes up in my life, I'm just going to stay with Him. Guess what I did? I did what everybody else usually does, and I said, you know what, that world looks pretty good. I think I'm going to go over there for just a few minutes. And you know what I thought in the back of my mind? I can always get back over here. I can always apologize, right? That'll fix it all. You ever had an argument with your wife that apologies don't really fix everything? Amen. I've had those where, you know, you apologize, but you really... No. You're going to have to say sorry for a long time. They do, don't they? I sit back and look at what I didn't have to deal with, the things that I put myself in that position, but yet I put myself there. And now I deal with the consequences of those things that I put myself in. And sometimes they can be worse, and they can really hurt your ministry over here. Yeah, they can. I thank God that mine stopped at a certain point. Amen, hallelujah. But it could have gotten worse. It could have ruined my whole entire ministry. He had a plan. He knew what to do to fix the problem was to go to his father. Verse 19, he says, "And am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And he arose and came to his father. I like that. You can mess up everything in your life. You can be at the very bottom of your, what you think is just the worst place that you could ever be in. You can be so far down in the hog pen that you don't know if you're ever going to get out of it again. But you can always go to the Father. That's one thing he knew. He knew he could go to his daddy, right? I know that. This is personal. Like, if I'm dealing with something and I don't know how to handle it, guess what? Daddy will always listen to me. Now, he may not tell me what I want to hear, but he's always there to listen. He's always there, ready to listen and to help me as much as possible. But we have a heavenly Father that we can go to that's even greater than that. When I feel like I've messed up and I don't know how I'm going to get out of the situation that I'm in, I can always go to the Father and say, "Hey, God, I messed up." There again, He may not always tell me what I want to hear. But He does always help me. He arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. In verse 22, he gets interrupted. Now, ain't that just like the Father? You see, you had a plan, right? You're going to go to the Father and say, I'm sorry, God, I messed up. I don't know what to do with this. And yet, a far way off, when you're running to see him, he goes on and says, hey, I think that's my boy right there. I think that's the one that I died for. I think that's the one that I hung on the cross for, and he'll meet you halfway. Ain't that amazing? He doesn't wait for you to get there, sitting there going, all right, it's fixing to be bad now. You're fixing to get your punishment now. That ain't the kind of God that he is. You think about your earthly father. That's not the way he works most of the time, right? You got a good godly father. I sit there and think about my dad, and I can know that if I was in that kind of situation and I finally ran to my dad, I can imagine him just running after me just to give me a hug, just to say, that's my boy. I would hate to see Walker go off and live like the world, but I'm going to tell you right now, if he does, if he comes back, and you can see that sorrow in his eye, and you can see the fact that he's repented and he's ready to get his fellowship right with God, he's ready to get his fellowship back right with you, I guess I'd run and hug him too. I guess I'd run and put a big old kiss on his cheek and tell him how much I loved him. That's what this Father does. That's what our Heavenly Father does. He runs after you. He'll meet you halfway. I've told you many times, if you want to get saved, you think it's so complicated to step out of that pew. But what I found out is, if you'll just step one step, he'll push you the rest of the way. It ain't that complicated. If you'll just get over yourself just long enough to step out, he'll take care of the rest of it. He loved you that much. He'll just kind of say, it's all right. I'm right here. Don't worry about them. Yeah, but they'll think, don't worry about what they think. But they already think I'm saved. It doesn't matter what they think. It just matters you need to get right with me. He gets interrupted in verse 22. But the Father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. You see this father sitting there going, hey, we can talk about all that later. That whole servant thing, we'll talk about that later. Go get him a robe. Go get him a robe. But Dad, you don't understand, Dad. I took everything you gave me. Hush, son. Go get him a ring. Put it on his finger. You know, that's our family crest. Put it on his finger. Show everybody who he is. He's my son. Put that on his finger. But Dad, you don't understand. I was so far down in the dirt and in the mire, and I was eating like, don't worry about it, son. Go get that fatted calf. We're fixing to eat good tonight. Amen. Go get the best one. Don't go get the scraggly one that we don't really like that much. Go get the best one. Because he's worthy of it. Did he mess up? Yeah, the father knew he messed up. You see, the father already knew he messed up. You sit there and see at the very end of it, he said he was dead. He said he was lost. He understood where he was at. God understands where you're at. You're dead in your trespasses and sins, right? That's what the Word of God says. Are you going to stay there? Or are you going to get out of it? It's a free gift of salvation. It's unto all, but it's only upon them that believe. You've got to accept the free gift of salvation. You've got to say, hey, I want it. You don't have to do anything for it. You don't have to work for it. You notice the son right here. He comes back and the father didn't say, hey, now if you'll work for the next 6 months really good, then I'll give you a ring. And if you work the next 6 months, I'll give you a robe. And if you work the next 6 months, I'll put shoes on your feet. And then after a couple of years, when you've kind of got back good graces with me, we'll kill the fatted calf and we'll have a party. That's not how that worked, is it? You see, right then, right there, he said, hey, that's my son. Ring, robe, shoes, fatted calf. Right now. Give him everything. Right now. Because he's still my son. Could you imagine them servants going, boy, I guess he really does love his boy, don't he? You mean to tell me he lived like that and he gets... Now you see some jealousy coming up in verse 25 through 32. Y'all have read the story, right? There's some jealousy coming up. That other son was still in the thing, right? He says, now his elder son was in the field and he came and drew nigh to the house. He heard music and dancing and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out, and entreated him. Now you see this other son's kind of agitated, right? Now that right there ought to hit real home. Because you can sit there and know people that have accepted Jesus Christ and they lived for God. They were on fire for God at one point in time in their life. You know, they were good Christians and deacons and preachers and Sunday school teachers and good members and tithed and all that good stuff. Showed up every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and all that good stuff, you know, that makes you Christian. Should have been here for Sunday school. All that good stuff. But then they went out and lived like the world for some time, didn't they? And what do? When they come back, you don't belong here. Why are you coming in this church? You just gonna bring your mess with you. No, I'm sorry, I messed up and I got away from... It don't matter what you say, man. You're going to bring your mess with you. You're going to bring all that stuff that you was doing out there and you're going to bring it in. That's what you do, right? You get angry about it. And I think you ought to have some discernment. But you can discern. You can have some good discernment and actually love on some people. Because you might realize that, hey, they were gone for a long time and they may have done a lot of bad things and you may know what they did. And you may know how bad it was. They still need God. He may not be able to be the preacher again. He still needs God. Come on now. I've seen it happen. I've watched them all. One of my favorite people we used to go to youth conference for. The preacher get up, man, he could just preach the house down. I loved going to his youth conference. He put it on every year. We'd go down to Atlanta and we would go and do all the stuff and he'd rent out Six Flags and all. I mean, he did a big thing. And then he moved it to Tennessee and we did Dollywood and all that kind of stuff. And it was fantastic. And it was good preaching, man. He could get up, he could just preach. And he was so interesting and he was so energetic. And he ran off with his secretary. And that's what everybody did. You know what they also did about 5 years later when he finally got right with God and said, you know what? I messed up. Wouldn't nobody have him back in the church anymore. I remember him sitting down talking to a preacher friend of mine, him sitting there saying, I didn't ask to preach, I just asked to sit in the pew. Come on now. Got to hold it over the head, right? You ain't no better than they are. Amen. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. You see, the father understood. He understood that the son messed up. He understood what he had done was wrong. And he told the older son, he said, hey, you've been with me, and everything I've got is yours. Everything you see is going to be yours, but can't you rejoice in the fact that he's back? When they come back, love on them a little bit. When they come down and they repent for the things that they've done, guess what? It ain't repentance for the salvation, it's repentance for what they've done wrong. They're trying to get their fellowship right. Let them do it. Let them get their life right. Let them start new. It may take away their position, but it doesn't take away their God. Everything has to be done decently in order, and I understand you've got to put things in its place, but that doesn't mean they don't deserve to sit in the pew and worship just like you do. Are you the prodigal son? Because at some point in time, we've all been that person. We've strayed away. You can try to act like you're more spiritual than everybody, but you've strayed away some shape, form, or fashion. It may not have been as bad as this other guy, but I can guarantee you it's been bad enough. God don't look at it any different. When you get away from the things of God, you're away from the things of God. Doesn't matter if you're one step or 20 steps, you're away from God. Are you that person this morning? Are you the one that strayed away? Because he's sitting here saying, if you just get out right there, and I could just see you, I'd have compassion on you and I'd run towards you just as fast as I could. And the Lord will meet you halfway. The Lord's sitting there saying, I'm ready to help you. I'm ready to love on you. I'm ready to tell you it's okay. I'm ready to tell you, hey, I got the hurt and I got the pain and I'll hold it for you and I'll take care of it for you. You just got to decide that you want it. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior. You need to get that settled this morning. You need to get that settled this morning. As Miss Barb comes and plays, if you stand to your feet, bow your head, close your eyes.